say I belong to you. Apart from the things I do, you say I belong to you. I'm in awe of why you do, why you do, why you do. I'm in awe of you.
This is Corey from Bible Baptist Church in West Union, Ohio. You're listening to Here's Hope with Pastor Tim Carter. Let's listen to the message.
Luke chapter number 22. It's a familiar story, probably one that almost everyone in here knows. And Peter, if you're not familiar with Peter, he was one of Jesus' followers, closest followers. He was one of the 12. He opened his mouth sometimes when he should have kept his mouth shut. He was, eager. Sometimes he stepped out and he just was a leader type of a personality. He had faith, but sometimes he, like all of us, we get our eyes off onto other things. I mean, we can criticize Peter all day long, but the truth is this. He got out of the boat and he walked on the water. And the only other person I know that walked on the water was Jesus. And you can say, well, he sank. I know. But have you ever walked on the water for 5 feet, 10 feet, 15 feet, 20 feet? No, we haven't. And so we can be critical of him, but the truth is that the guy had faith. And he just sometimes ran his mouth a little too much, and he needed to learn. See, because Peter is going to become very valuable in the ministry. But before he becomes valuable, he has to learn this lesson, and he has to learn it well. You cannot do this in your own power. How can we do it? Well, Luke 22. Peter is about to run his mouth again here. Verse number 33, Peter says, and he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. That's what I'm ready. I will never deny thee, one place says. He said, and I'll go with you to prison. If I have to, I'll go with you to death. Now, what we're going to find out is here before too long, truth is not very long at all, that he's to save his own skin. He's going to deny the Lord before the cock crows next morning. But he's pretty confident in his ability, and he needs to learn that the way that we are sustained is found in this, Luke 22, verse number 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you. Why? Why would Satan want him? That he may sift you as wheat. And I think this is an important application. I don't think it's only just Peter that Satan desires, but I would say I believe that every person that Satan knows is a potential threat to do great works in the name of the Lord, or especially by the power of the Lord, was probably the right way to say it, that Satan's, if he can, he's going to try to get you off track. He'll try to run you in a hole. He'll try to ruin your life. He'll try to, in Jesus' words, sift you as wheat. And so it's easy for us to go, well, I want to serve the Lord in a great way, and I would never deny the Lord, and I would go to prison if I had to for Jesus Christ, and I would even die if I had to give up my life for Jesus Christ. But the truth is that if you really, you think that's you, that you are big stuff for Jesus Christ, and Satan desires to sift you as wheat. And don't ever forget that we're called to fight the good fight. And this is a fight. We are to war a good warfare. This is not a game. This is not for the Christian faith. It's not for the weak-hearted or for those that just want to piddle around, if you would say. We're in warfare. We're called into battle spiritually. And there are forces that are working against that really would seek to try to ruin our marriages, ruin our homes, ruin our lives, get us caught up in drugs or alcohol or some kind of sin that's going to really mess our lives up. There really is a devil, and he really does try to go after you. And if you're going to step up and you're going to try to be a great servant for the Lord Jesus Christ, you could say, target on your head, target on your family, target on your life, target on your children, target on your grandchildren. So it's not for the weak or the faint. It's not for those who don't have a heart to be engaged in warfare. That's probably the best way to say it. So Peter just thinks, I can do this. And Jesus said, no, you can't do this. In fact, verse number 31, Simon, Simon, behold, look, pay attention, watch. Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But what would prevent that? Well, verse 32, this is what prevents it. Jesus prayed for him. I just wondered, I hope Jesus is praying for me. You might say, well, I thought he was God. I know, but he teaches us to pray, our Father, which art in heaven. And in fact, Jesus prays for his people. I have prayed for thee. Why? That thy faith fail not. Why is that so important? Because faith is the victory, the Bible says, that overcomes the world. Faith is where it happens. Faith is, in a sense, where the action is. Faith is what keeps you on track. Your faith is what keeps you going. It's what God uses faith to get you back up and get you revitalized and going. Faith is a victory that overcomes the world. And so if we're going to live effectively, long-term, any length of time at all, effectively for God, we must be people of faith. And if your faith, in a sense, fails, then where are you going to be? And the answer is in deep trouble, especially when you have an adversary that wants to ruin your life. And so Jesus said, I've prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Now, why is he talking about his faith failing? Because the truth is he is shortly just about, in a sense, to deny. He is going to deny the Lord, and he's going to find himself in a very deep, dark place. But he wants him to know in advance, no matter how bad this is going to get, I want you to know I prayed for you already, even though Satan wants to ruin your life, sift you as wheat. I've already prayed for you, and Jesus already knows what's going to happen. When you are converted, in other words, when you get back going again, when you're turned around, when you're changed, when you are recovered, so to speak, back to living the Christian faith, you're going to be a blessing to your brother. Strengthen your brethren. So I'm telling you already, Satan wants to ruin your life. He wants to ruin you personally, and you're going to fail, but your faith is not going to fail. You're going to fail. You're going to fall short. You are going to fall down in this thing. I already know what's going to happen to you, but you're going to get back up when you are converted, and you're going to get going, and I'm telling you, you need to strengthen your brethren. Now, see how far Jesus sees out of the head? He sees out ahead of us. Not just days, weeks, months, years. He already knows it all. He already knows if, when you're going to have a bad moment, if, when you're going to backslide, if, when there's going to be a point when you're going to deny the Lord at a point where you ought to be acknowledging the Lord. He already knows about it. He already knows about it. And he's already made arrangements to get you back up, to get you going again. And when you're going again, strengthen your brethren. Verse 33. And he, Peter, said unto him, Jesus, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And he said, Jesus said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt three times deny that thou knowest me. It's not even that you're just going to have a bad day. You're going to deny that you even know who I am. Now, we know, truth is, as a believer, if we're going, all right, what are the worst things we can do? And we can go, you know, rape, molest somebody, kill someone. We can start naming things like that. But truth is, we just want to talk about something that is about the worst thing that, in our opinion, as a believer, that a Christian could do is deny the Lord. In fact, Jesus said, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father, which is in heaven. Did he not? I mean, that's a pretty serious threat. And so what's one of the worst things that a Christian could do, and one of the worst things a Christian could do, especially one of the inner circle 12, one of the ones that's going to be the one of the ones that God uses to carry on ministry, what's one of the worst things that could happen is that he would deny the Lord. And we find ourselves, he finds himself in this situation, verse number 54. They took him, Jesus, led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. By now, Jesus has been arrested. He's been betrayed. He's now in custody, and he is on his way before too long to ultimately the crucifixion. They led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. Mister, I'll never deny you. I'll go to prison with you. I'll even die with you or for you, is following afar off. Pretty clear what's happening here. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall where and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld, saw Peter as he sat by the fire, and earnestly looked upon him. Kind of that, don't I know you, kind of a look, right? And said, this man was also with Jesus, or with him. And he denied Jesus, saying, woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also with them. And Peter said, man, I am not. This is bad. And about the space of 1 hour after another confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow also was with him, or Jesus, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew, and maybe even worse yet, the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. I mean, we just had this conversation just not so many hours ago, right? That Peter, you're going to deny me. And no, I'm not. I would die for you. I would go to prison with you or for you. And I'm not going to deny you. In fact, one of the Gospels says, I never deny you. And even just a few hours later, here it is, before the cock crows, and three times denied. And worse even yet than knowing as a believer that you denied the Lord. Then Jesus looks at you. I'm telling you, I think that is the icing on the cake, the straw that broke the camel's back. I know how it is. You know, my parents, when I would do something wrong as a kid, and I really do something really, really wrong, really silly, and then to see them looking at me, and they caught me red-handed, that's the worst. And worse yet, he denies the Lord, something he never thought that he would do, but yet this lesson is valuable. I'm not saying that the Lord wanted him to deny him, but I'm saying God can take our failures, our shortcomings. He can take all those things. And by the time Christ is done, he prays for you when you're converted, when you are turned around, when you're recovered, when you are changed, when you're turned, if you would say, Christ can turn you into a valuable part of his work and his kingdom. You guys know the story. The rest of the story is he denies him. Jesus looks at him, verse number 61, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how Jesus had said unto him, Peter, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. If you skipped through the book of Luke, the rest of it, and go to the book of John, one of the very last chapters of the book of John, and we see Peter, and I almost feel weird talking through this story just because you guys know this story so very, very well. You know about John and how after Jesus was killed, and after he resurrected and he was seen by people, he was seen by the disciples, he was seen by Thomas, who denied him. And then you get to chapter 21 of the book of John, and here's Peter, and in his own self-will, if you would say, he decides that he's going to go fishing. Lesson number one, life is not going to go good for a believer that is in sin or sinful situation or circumstances in their life. But Jesus has plans. Every time we fall off into a sin, He has plans for His followers to bring us back out of that. Already prayed for us in advance, it appears. And so chapter 21 of the book of John, we see Peter in his self-will, verse number 3. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. Oh, that's good, Peter. Go back to what you used to do before you got serious about living for God. And go back to your old life. Is that going to solve anything? And Jesus wants him to understand also, you're not ever going to be able to go back to your old life and ever be happy or successful being like you used to be before you were a believer in me. You can deny me and you can fall down on your face and you can go out and you can weep bitterly, but I'm going to restore you. I'm going to make sure you're restored, in a sense, converted, brought back around, and then you're going to be successful in ministry again. Maybe someone here tonight says, you know, what I've done is too bad, that I've fallen too far. I don't think I can ever be back, be able to be useful in God's service again. And I'm just telling you, the only one that would say that to you is the devil. Because God has plans for His children to bring us back to a position where we can be effective and be extremely effective in ministry again. So verse number 3, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go fishing, and they say unto him, we also go with these. Here's an influencer. He's an influencer. And some of you that have fallen and struggled the most, some of you that God can work through because of the personality that He has given you and because of the ability to influence people, that you have the ability to accomplish great things if you are empowered by God, if you understand that you're not going to be able to do it in your own strength. And so it's beneficial for the Lord to get Him back going again. And He takes others with Him. Other people want to be with Peter. Where's Peter going? Fishing. We're go fishing too. They went forth and into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. And what I would say to that is good. Good that we're not successful as believers that are out of step with God. Good that we're not successful trying to do things in our own will. Good when we're not successful trying to think that we can live this Christian life successfully on our own. Because we can't. It's good for us to learn those things. Because only when you learn those things are you going to be able to strengthen the brethren. Good they caught no fish. You might say, that's bad. Why would you wish bad on someone? No, it's good. See, because this Christian life is more than just about us going out fishing and catching a couple of fish, real fish swimming around. This is about, follow me, he said to Peter one day, and I will make you a fisher of men. Got more important things for you to do than taking your net down to the seashore, catching some fish. I got some people. When the morning was now come, verse 4, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus said unto them, children, have you any meat? And they answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. But there's a whole lot there, isn't there? I think that statement was more than just about catching fish. It was about being in step with the will of God for your life. It's about going from a point where you're out doing your own thing and you're out doing your own plan and doing things your way. And God's like, you want to be successful again as a believer, you need to get back in step with me. I mean, you're not very far away from doing things right and successfully and from being extremely blessed. The distance is that side of the boat to this side. And how many of us may be here? And truth is that you're fishing on the left side of the boat when you are about 10 feet away from huge blessings. But the difference between the left side and the right side is one is the will of God and the other one is your will. And that'd be a bummer to get to heaven one day and realize you were 10 feet away from the biggest blessing and you missed it. Because you wouldn't listen to Jesus Christ. You might say, you think God would do that for me? I know He would. But you got to quit doing your plan, and you got to quit doing things your way, and you got to quit thinking that you can do this, and you got to quit thinking that you're smarter than God, because you're not. And when a man or a woman would surrender to the leading of God in their life and would get off of their ideas and their plan and their way. It's amazing that not very far are great blessings from God if you will listen and humble yourself. Verse 5, Jesus said, "Have you any meat?" And they answered, "No." Verse 6, "Cast the net on the right side of the ship and you shall find." And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it, there the net, for the multitude of fish. In fact, if we skipped over to verse number 11, Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all, there were so many, and yet was not the net broken. No way those nets should have held that kind of fish. There's examples all over the story. This is not really where I want to stop, but examples all over the story of when you get in step with God, and God can give you blessings above and beyond, and then He will give you the ability to be able to hold those blessings, and your nets won't break. And the example is, the reference surely is back to the Old Testament about how when the Old Testament believers were not making God the priority, God said, it's like you bring home money and it's in bags with holes in it. And He said, and even when you get it home, I blow on it and I blow it away and it goes away. Because I'm not going to let you as a believer, you never listen as a believer, you are never ever going to be like the lost people of the world ever again the rest of your life. They have hell that they're going to go to one day if they don't get saved. And they're going to pay for eternity, but we're not. There's no hell for us. And so for us, what we have to learn is we have to learn how to get in on the blessings here and don't miss it and get in step and see where God's will is. Now turn to the book of Acts chapter 9 and then we're going to be done. By the time we get to Acts chapter number 9, Peter is now converted. He has been turned back. He has been recovered. He has preached a message and 3,000 people got saved. And so in Acts chapter number 9, Peter is in a town. Verse 35 of chapter number 9, He is in a town, and all that dwell in Lydda and Saron saw him and turned to the Lord. People converted there. Verse number 36, "Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did." What a testimony. This wasn't just a woman that talked about her faith. This was a woman that lived out her faith. What was her life characterized by? Full of good works and not just alms deeds. Alms, here's $10, go buy yourself some groceries. Alms deeds, I'll go get the food for you. I'll help you. Alms deeds, full of good works and alms deeds. This woman had a faith that you could see. And that people could see. She was beneficial. When we read on farther down, we read about the coats that she had made, the garments that she made. At the end of verse number 39, a widow stood by weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. And apparently she made garments for people to help them or keep them warm and then gave them to them. This woman was full of good works and full of alms deeds, which she did. Verse 37, "It came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, who, when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber, dead. Washed her body, put it in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. And then there arose and went with them when he was come. They brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was yet with them." She was alive. Here's what she did. And they're crying. And we don't know exactly how long she's been dead. But Peter in verse 40, he puts them all out. And he sets out to pray. And he kneels down to pray. Verse 40. This is the guy that denied the Lord. This is the guy that Jesus said, I've prayed for you that your faith fail not. The guy who Satan desires to sift you as wheat. The guy that Jesus knows is going to get down, in a sense, cleared down, and yet he's going to be strengthened back because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you're converted, strengthen your brethren. 3,000 people have been saved from then till now, and more, I'm sure. And here are these stories about this guy who people thought, will he ever be able to be effective in ministry again? Will he ever be able to get back to, I'm telling you, greater things than these? Greater. Because God knows about our weaknesses when we get saved. He knows all about us. He knows, and He can overcome all those things if you just live for Him with all of your heart. He puts them all forth, or puts them all out, runs everyone out of the room, and it's just him and Dorcas's dead body laying there. And he kneeled down and he prayed, and no doubt Jesus said, when Jesus was still alive and doing ministry on the earth prior to his death and then resurrection, he said, all things are possible to them that believe. You believe that? You're like, I don't think so. All things are possible to them that believe. Peter puts all the women out. It's just him in there. He kneels down and he prays. And when he was finished praying, he turns and he looks at her dead body and he says these words, Tabitha, rise. And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up and he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. That was a glorious day, don't you think? Well, why would God do that? Why would God bring a woman, a Christian, dedicated, full of alms deeds and good works? Why would He bring her back to life? Just to do a bunch of good things for other people? That was part of it, but it was even more than that. See, because God knew what could happen in that town, in that place, if this miracle took place. What could happen? Well, verse number 42. And it was known throughout all of Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. It wasn't just about bringing her back. It was about what her coming back to life could do. Now listen, how it could impact a town, or a city, or some people. You've stumbled and you fall. We all have stumbled and fallen as believers and come up short. And Satan's desire to sift us as wheat, and Christ is praying for us. But the question is what's going to happen as a result of God restoring you, getting you back going as a believer? And the ultimate fallout ought to be that many people become believers because of your life.
You've been listening to Here's Hope, a ministry of Bible Baptist Church. Check us out online at hereshope.org. You can contact us by writing to Bible Baptist Church, P.O. Box 487, West Union, Ohio 45693, or by calling us at 937-544-1818. If you don't already attend another church, we'd love for you to give us a try. Thanks for listening, and we hope you have a great week. You say I belong to you. Apart from the things I do. You say I belong to you.